The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you so very much for joining me tonight. We're at the eve of Halloween. We are tomorrow is Halloween. I'm very excited for this. Don't forget, folks, going to get it out there right away. Tomorrow we're doing that three-hour tour, the three-hour episode of Ghost Box Radio. We're doing it live from Stillwater. It's going to be part radio show, part paranormal investigation. So if you are listening to us on the radio, it's going to be fine for the radio for Halloween, but maybe check out our Facebook page, AM 950 Radio, or Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, because we're going to have cameras set up all over this place in Stillwater, Minnesota. Special thanks to Midwest Witchery and Healing, Witch Jody, for allowing us to be in there. I'm going to get right to it, though. I am so excited for my guest tonight, and I am so excited for the fortune in terms of the good things that are happening. I'm just elated. I really am. And there's a lot of good things going on right now. So if you haven't done so yet, I would highly recommend going to Hulu and checking out the new series, Living for the Dead, which is just dropped a few weeks ago. It hasn't been long at all. And really just get into it. And we're going to talk to a guest tonight, my friend Ken Bogle. We're going to be talking about his role in it, which is pretty exciting. Ken, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me. How great is that three-hour gig for Halloween?
Isn't it going to be
like
something?
That's awesome. That's cool. Great. That's smart, too. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody ever doing that before. Hey, Trailblazer.
Right.
Well done.
Right. And to segue into your show, in all honesty, it's kind of about education, isn't it? Educating people on paranormal, educating people on different things, and that's what we're trying to do tomorrow, because what we want to do is we also want to keep it light. We want people to have fun with it. We also want to educate folks about it as well, which is what I've really find with Living for the Dead, your new series. I find that to be very much the case, and there's layers of learning that happen in your show that I just am really excited about, Ken. First of all, I really want to say this. I didn't say it before we got on because I just wanted to be fresh. Congratulations on everything. Honestly, sir. Amazing.
I really had no idea it was going to be as big as it's become. Like, I never, and we can both agree I'm pretty intuitive. I'm pretty good intuitive. I never dreamed that we would be a 40-foot billboard in Times Square. I never dreamed that. I just thought me and my four friends were going to load up in this RV and ghost hunt and do paranormal investigating is really what it is. Paranormal investigating and, you know, help people. I really had no idea. I mean, I'm shocked.
And, you know, the thing is, too, about that is, I think this is what happens when you get someone like Hulu involved, and this isn't a slight against like Travel Channel, but Travel Channel's been doing a lot of these programs, and it's kind of in some ways, and this is me talking, not Ken, it's kind of a machine that's of putting these out, whatnot, and I mean just the idea of the way that your show is shot, the way it's edited, the way that it's been promoted is not the way I've seen other paranormal series shown, but also at the same time, this show is not like how other paranormal shows are either. It's completely different. Ken, can you give us a little bit of of background on what the show is about, please, for those who haven't seen it yet.
Sure, sure. But like to your point real quick, I just wanted to say, you know, a lot of my friends, like, I mean, sitting on my coffee table right now is Steve Gonzalez. These are, you know, Dustin Perry is a really good friend of mine, Grant Wilson, these pioneers in the industry. So I totally respect them. And like you said, it's not that this is a bad thing. That's a formula that worked.
Yep.
This has completely blown the roof off of that. Like when I was filming the first episode, I looked around and I thought to myself, this is not at all what I prepared for. Like, this is like, I know Dustin and I know these guys and this is how they say it goes. This isn't that. I'm just thrilled to be a part of it, but it's really the story of me and my four friends. We loaded up in this RV and we spent like, I think it was like 3 months going from haunted location to haunted location. Really trying to help the people who work and live in those locations to coexist with the spirits there or to set some spirits straight. Like, we weren't in there like screaming and you know, provoking. We were there to give a voice, to understand and to see, is there really something there? If so, what can we do about it? Because, you know, like even in the craziest world, you would never imagine a gentleman's club being haunted. You'd never imagine that. But these dancers were going out at night, getting grabbed, and there was nobody on stage with them. And they were feeling in the locker room. They were feeling on the stage like they couldn't go to work. So the thing that we did was we went in and we tried to find out, is there something? What is it? How can we help? And then how can we help the living people there by helping the spirits? And I think it is groundbreaking because, you know, Kristen Stewart picked an all LGBTQ cast. But if you can get past the sexuality labels, this is one of the most profound paranormal television shows I think that's ever been created. You know, and I say that with humility. I really do.
Yeah, and I think that you are right on it. And you know, at the same time, I'd respectfully challenge too that I don't think people should try to get past the LGBTQ because it's important. And which is what really it made me excited about this is that there are voices being heard in this program that I don't see very often, and that it's being celebrated. You know, it's being celebrated. You're also, for example, your first episode, Rainbows and Clowns.
I hate clowns, bro.
I know.
Like, I do not like clowns.
But you were able, if you don't mind me bringing it up, you're able to come, you know, have a moment of seeing how people who are in your situation could be accepted, you know, when they didn't feel like they didn't know how their loved ones would accept them. And you were able to see something very special happen there. I mean, that's something that I think it's very important to have and to see.
I totally agree. I think like this, and this is me being completely honest.
Yeah.
I'm worried and I still somewhat am worried about people saying, oh, it's just another gay something or other. Mm-hmm. And they're going to miss out on these amazing moments just because they just disregard it. And I'm scared of that because what we share in this show, as you've seen, is incredible. The moment you're talking about is a moment that happens a lot in the show where one of us, either the person that we're helping or one of the five of us, has a real human emotion. And when the five of us get together, there are no cameras. It's not like there are cameras. It's just me and my friends, and we're having real dialogue and we're doing real work. And in the process of that, a tremendous amount of heart comes out and a tremendous amount of humor.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just hope, I guess it's because I grew up in the day when it was still not okay to be gay. And still to this day, it's not really. But I worry that part of it's going to keep somebody from seeing something really profound and beautiful. So, no, you're absolutely right. It should not be looked past. But at the same time, don't let it push you away from something that is incredibly profound. And I think at the end of the day, I couldn't pick four better people, regardless if they were gay, lesbian, if they were straight, or they were, I just couldn't pick four of the for better people to have in my life and to go on this road trip with.
The one thing that really sticks out to me in the program is that it is so positive, you know, and that's something that, you know, a lot of shows, and trust me, I'm not trying to create a your versus them sort of scenario with the programs, but I mean, there you have to look at some of the similarities for those who are like, oh, another ghost show. Well, the difference here, though, it is a very positive ghost show. There's a lot of time where you and your friends are just having fun, you know, and it's good fun, and you're very supportive of each other. And I think that, you know, the overall message I'm taking away from the program is that you're helping spirits, you're helping the living, but you're also helping each other. I mean, it's that the support is so overwhelming overall that I do hope that you're right, that nobody decides not to watch something because, you know, because, I mean, how stupid, to be very honest, decide. I get your fears. I do. I honestly do. But and when you think about it, when you say it out loud, it's like, I'm a paranormal enthusiast, but I'm not going to watch the show because the people on there are gay. I mean, okay. Well, I get it, but yeah.
But like today, just today, I was laying in the bath going through Instagram, and somebody said on Shane Pittman, that amazing, beautiful soul who I love, posted just the picture of it. And this woman was like, why does their sexuality have to be a part of it? And normally I don't respond to things like that because like, there's nothing anybody could possibly say I haven't already heard, but it just kind of triggered me in that in that fear. So I basically just wrote back and said, please look past it because there could be a message there or something that you learn that could really be profound. So yeah, I just, you know, I think the positivity of it is amazing. I think the camaraderie, which is completely organic. I've never in my life had this type of relationship where I was at work with people and we weren't coerced into being something.
Yeah.
We were just let loose. We're feral. And like, we're eating donuts. We're drinking, poor Logan drinks more coffee than, I mean, it's insanity. And you know, Alex and Juju, we're just all ourselves. And we weren't forced into a certain role because, you know, you sometimes on paranormal investigation shows, you're like, this is the psychic. This is the researcher.
Yeah.
And we just fell into that naturally. It just totally naturally. And it was the most organic, wonderful, beautiful experience I've ever had in my entire life.
And it's very genuine, the interaction between everybody. And, you know, and I think it's also important, you know, to kind of just put out there, you mentioned itself, you know, a lot of people feel like we're living in a time that we're all much more understanding of each other, but it's really at the end of the day, it's probably not quite as true as we think, is it?
No, I think something happened, where people just hit it very well.
Yeah.
And people that you know and love and people that are family, people that are friends, suddenly, due to political, stances or, you know, Facebook posts or what have you, these little bits of, I don't want to call it ignorance. I don't want to call it hatred. I just want to say these different little perspectives that are hurtful to others became okay to share.
Yeah.
And it saddens me all the time because I know you've heard me say it before, we are our brother's keeper. And if our brothers and sisters are different than us, who cares? Our job is to love them and to be there for them anyway, even though we don't mirror each other exactly. We're supposed to take care of each other. And I just don't understand why this cherry-picking, aggressive anger comes from. I just don't understand it, and it breaks my heart. And I mean it, Greg, honestly, it breaks my heart every day. Every day I have to turn my phone off or I have to turn the TV off, and it just breaks my heart.
Well, and it also comes down to the fact that, you know, you're one of millions that have to deal with it on a regular basis. You're the one who sees it. You're the one who lives it. You know, and still try to, you know, be the best person you can be. Where someone like myself, I think that's why it's important for folks like myself to remember, because I don't live with that over me. I might with other things, but not that. Where, you know, you're trying to do is live your life, you're trying to be you, and there can't be anything worse than people who don't like that just because they don't understand.
Yeah, or they have like a different religious perspective, or they have a different, you know, they just have a different perspective. And for me, for the longest time, it was really, really hard. You see it in episode one where I got completely triggered and I had a really intense emotional moment. And it's real because I went through really hard times, you know, being homeless at 15 years old because your parents don't want a gay boy for a son.
Mm-hmm.
And then threatened that they were going to beat the gay out of you, and knowing that they meant it because, you know, that you've been beat. And then having to go to school and get beat on and get spit on and have things thrown at you. I really, now these days, and this is the honest truth, I have become so set in myself that I really don't care. I mean, I'm respectful of other people. I'm a good, genuinely good person. I'm a generous person. I have several charities that I work with. I just benefited one Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever. And then I'm about to go benefit another one on Sunday. I'm a good guy. And I live in that truth. I don't care. I don't care if you like who I go to bed with or not, because that's my business. I don't climb in your sheets. Don't climb in mine.
Yep.
Unless I ask you to. Like, don't look them over. But I stay in my own lane. And I just wish that everybody would, you know, kind of respect each other enough just to not be nasty. That's all. But it doesn't bug me anymore. Even when we were in Tonopah, we were filming the first episode, there was a guy who was being very sketch, and he was looking at Roz and Juju with some malice. And he came up to me and he started to kind of attack me. He was like, your parents must be so ashamed of you. Look how you dress. Look what you do. And in the moment, all the production companies stood up and they were like a wall. And I said, whoa, wait, this is my brother. He might not agree with me. He might not like me. He might have anger toward me, but there's no need. And the production company was like, no, you're absolutely crazy. Get the hell out of here. Like they pushed me out. But I was ready to have a real conversation with him, buy him a drink, maybe, you know, us do some gambling together. But I just have no fear of that anymore. Yeah. I have no fear. I'm living my best life because I'm the best person I know how to be. I ain't perfect, but I do all right.
Absolutely. Well, why don't we go ahead and do this? Let's go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Ken Bogle. We have so much to talk about. We're going to be talking a lot more about Living for the Dead, which is currently on Hulu. Go check it out. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Ghostbox Radio on AM 950. And don't forget, tomorrow, it's the big day, three-hour tour of Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken. We're going to be in Stillwater live. We're going to be doing a paranormal investigation. We're going to have folks stopping in, saying hello. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. You never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to show up. Watch us on Facebook. That's probably the way to do it, actually, because we're going to have cameras set up all over the place. And you never know. You might see a spirit or two. We'll see what happens. Adam, who is going to be at the station, as always, he is going to be setting up some REM pods there because that place is pretty active as well. So maybe we might get something on camera or something, but you got to watch to find out. We're talking with Ken Bogle, who is now part of the series Living for the Dead, which is currently streaming on Hulu. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, definitely go check it out. There are 8 episodes, and it's a really good program. Ken, you know, last segment was kind of a social commentary, but let's talk a little bit more about the actual episodes themselves. How many of these places have you ever been to before?
I had been to 2 prior, one of which was Waverly Hills because, you know, Waverly Hills.
Right.
And I live in Kentucky. Like you go to Waverly Hills, right? And that was in a paranormal investigation capacity. But the Louisville Palace has always just been where I have the best times. Like, I love the Louisville Palace. I've met Alanis Morissette there, Margaret Cho, like Matchbox 20. Like, I just, the Louisville Palace has always been a great, great place for me. But I never was there as a paranormal investigator because I didn't know it was haunted. Nobody told me. And honestly, whenever I get there and I'm going to a concert, the last thing I'm thinking is what spirits could possibly, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sitting there thinking like, I hope Elena sings You Ought to Know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm over here thinking like, is Matchbox 20 going to do an acoustic 3 a.m.? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm not.
Right.
So no, but I'd been to two. I had been to the Louisville Palace in Waverly Hills, and it was so cool to go back to those places and learn things I'd never learned and experience things I had never experienced and to do some really good work. It was awesome.
I also, with going to the Clown Hotel, it's one of those unique areas that you go up the highway and you hit, if you go from Vegas and you go up the highway, you hit Goldfield, that has the Goldfield Hotel. You can pretty much get to Area 51. Then you right there, you have the Clown Hotel. You also have the Mitzvah Hotel. Yeah. I mean, what a highway. God.
It's the creepiest thing. But can I tell this story? I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to tell it anyway.
Do
Let's
it.
See what happens.
Let's see what happens.
It is a long stretch.
Yes.
A long stretch. And, you know, riding that long is pretty hardcore. But I do like a big gulp of Diet Coke. I do like that. And I drank a lot of that. And suddenly I had to go to the restroom. And I was like, oh my gosh, where do I go to the restroom? Like, this is not okay. So we found this like out of nowhere, this little side road. And I was like, I'm totally going to go use the restroom. I go out there and it's some kind of like an alien brothel or something.
I've been there, Ken.
I mean, I was just minding my own business, taking care of business. And suddenly these flashlights come out and gun, like, I was like, get the hell out of here. But it is the most interesting highway I think
it is
I've ever been on, because it's just like nothing. And then boom, you know, you have an alien brothel, boom, a haunted clown motel, you know, the Mitzvah, just insanity. I loved it. I think it's a great place.
It is. I've been not using it. Let's be clear. I wasn't there as a customer of that sort of service, but I was at the alien brothel. And, you know, it does raise a lot of questions, Ken, whether or not if you were to use it as a service, are they aliens? I mean, is that really what's going on there? I mean, I didn't ask. I was too afraid to ask.
Well, I mean, I was afraid of being shot, but I would go in there. I would totally go in there just to find out what it looks like. I want to know, is there carpet? If so, how dirty is the carpet? Is there wallpaper? If so, what print? Like, I want to go in there and meet the girls or whomever's working. I'd like to meet the house mother. I would go in. I would totally go in. Next time I will. I'm just going to knock on the door and be like, hi, it's your buddy Ken Boggle. I have got to go to the restroom. Absolutely, I would do that.
You may have seen me on such programs as Living for the Dead, and I just want to know if these are aliens, if these women are actually indeed aliens.
If these are aliens, and is that shag carpet? If so, how do you clean it? And like, I got it.
Right, right. Is it, how many years has the building been here, and how many years has that carpeting been here? That's the real question.
Or do aliens visit for service? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, are they servicing or being? I have to know. I have to know.
There's too many questions now.
You birthed a whole new thing now, Greg. Right. Now I have to go back to.
I mean, it's kind of a reverse abduction, isn't it? I mean, it's.
Yeah.
there's a couple places that I haven't been to and I've been wanting to get to. I kind of forget about it, but your last episode, at least the last one that's on, is the Lemp Mansion. I've never been to the Lemp. How was that?
The Lemp is heavy. The Lemp is incredibly heavy. The thing about it is that it proves that sometimes in life the worst thing you can get is what you want, like money, notoriety. These things can tear you apart. Societal pressure can tear you apart. The Limps prove that. They prove it. It's with this infamous curse. I went in dressed like total Ken Boggle, and I totally fit into the vibe. And immediately I began to sort of experience things psychically. And then I experienced things without being turned on psychically. Like, we had filmed for gosh, I think it was 14 hours. We'd been on location for 14 hours, maybe 15. And it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And all I wanted to do was eat a quesadilla. Like, that's all I want. Diet Coke, quesadilla. And every time I would lift the quesadilla to my mouth, there would be footsteps going down the hallway. And like, you have to stop, put the quesadilla down, grab the camera real quick, and then film, right? And you have to investigate what it is. And then I'd set the camera back down. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's so insane. And the dread, it's a beautiful, wonderful place, but the overall heaviness is palpable. And I think it's the one location that had Alex, our tech guru, that had Alex disoriented. And I think it had all of us somewhat disoriented. We started to have headaches. We started to kind of get dizzy. No EMF reasons for that. It just was incredibly heavy.
I just have this thought of you let me eat my quesadilla, you know, just leave me alone.
That's what I said. I literally, finally, I just turned the camera around to watch me, and I was just getting ready to eat my quesadilla, and I heard boom, 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 and like, I was like, you know, I'm going to sit here and eat this effing quesadilla. That's what I'm doing. I'm like, I don't care who's in the hallway. I don't care what your message is. At this one point, I had to be selfish because it's like, quesadilla.
And for those who've never worked on a television or film crew or anything, and my background is production, people don't really understand what, and this is why it's very, I mean, the level of energy that all of you brought to the show, and knowing how much a day of filming, like how much that takes out of a person, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. But the thing that a lot of people don't realize by watching this show is that we stayed there. We filmed for 4 days, 3 or 4 days, but we were usually there for a whole week. So before the cameras even rolled, we unpacked our bags and we settled in, and we were being drained from the time we got to a lot of those places until the time we left. So the moments on the road, the moments in the RV, the moments where we could stop at a gas station and you know, get a hot dog, which I'm the only one that ever did that, but I love a gas station hot dog. But, you know, those were like precious to us because it was those moments that we got to reclaim our energy. You said it beautifully. Nobody really understands how incredibly draining that is. It's not just the work. It's the spirits. It's just the activity as well. Both of them just will absolutely drain the life out of you.
I mean, you have to think that there is, I mean, as much as you love it, as much as anybody loves it, as much as Jason Haas loves it, there's a point where it's like, I don't have anything more to give. It's just too much.
Yeah. For me, it was the Copper Queen because I was staying in the Billy's bedroom, which I was all gung-ho for, trust and believe. I was like, absolutely, like, can't wait. And we go in to get the keys. And that's one of the episodes where as soon as we got there, we started, you know, it was all spot on. And I set up the trigger object, which is a Boo Bear, you know, and also an EMF detector. And I remember going in that night because I was so drained. We filmed all day long. And we were already experiencing things from the word go. We were experiencing things. And I said to the camera, the first thing I'm going to do tonight is move that Boo Bear. And then as soon as I said it, it went, and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And then from 2 a.m. until 3, almost 4, I got tired of filming. Like in the show, you can see me. I was so drained that I just, tears. I was like, golly, like, it just is too much. It's too much and so heavy and so sad and oppressive that I just couldn't bear it anymore. And I remember getting up and going to Roz's bedroom, and I was like an 8-year-old kid. I tapped on the door and said, Roz, will you let me in? She didn't know that it was me. She thought a ghost was saying her name, and she runs out of the bed. And you could hear like, boom, 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 boom. And then it sounded like somebody threw an armful of frozen turkeys in the bathtub. Like, boom, 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 with the shower curtain. I was like, Damn it, Roz. Come on, Roz.
That's great. I stayed at the Copper Queen a few years back, and I was there with somebody else. And funny enough, we were shooting a sizzle for a possible Travel Channel show, just her and I. And we were in the Copper Queen. We were going to do some stuff there, and it was very oppressive in there. And we were in the room that's actually kind of almost like you have to go through like a, on the second floor, I think it was, and you have to almost go through like a, just a short walkway, like almost outside the hotel to get to the room. It's very separate. Just a beautiful place, but walking the dread, it was so horrible. And we get in there and she's freaking out. And I'm just like, I do this thing where I'm just like, I'm going to energetically raise the walls. Like metal walls. That's how I envision it. And it actually, it works really. I'm really good with energy and it works. It works so well that we walked out. We're walking all around. It's like, we don't feel anything throughout this hotel at all anymore. Like I closed off the whole hotel or something. I don't know what happened. I'm like, what have I done? And then like, and I don't know if it actually was that or whatever, but I left there, and about a week later, I'm like, you know, I never took those walls down. I should probably do that. So, yeah, I don't know. But it was, what a place.
It's a crazy, crazy place. I think it was the second day we were there, I noticed a shift in my personality.
Oh.
And I started to notice a shift in everybody. But then I started to get that really oppressed feeling that happens very rarely when you have something inhuman, and it was I was in pain all over, which is another indication for me that something's not right.
Yeah.
And one of the producers went out and it was Ash Wednesday. She went and had some medallions blessed by a bishop at the local Catholic church. She brought them and put them on, and I noticed that that things started to kind of block off for me, and Juju did some prayer for me and really kind of healed me and took some stuff off of me. And then it was kind of like, oh no, if we're here to film this, like, what if I'm blocking it? You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, I hate to put myself in spiritual danger, but it requires sometimes you have to kind of let that wall down. But yeah, I needed a reprieve. That place is hardcore. Hardcore.
It was, and the whole town is something. We almost bought the building next door to the Copper Queen. We were actually really looking at it while we were there. Ultimately, didn't. And I'm very grateful for that actually. But it's there is something about that town that is very separate from the rest of Arizona. It's a very forward thinking community, and it also feels like it's an area that has a lot of history to it. But when we were there, they made it sound like that people didn't like the rest of Arizona kind of saw it as an outlier because of how forward thinking it actually is.
I can see that, but its location too, wouldn't you say, is like so isolated?
Yeah.
It really reminded me of like Sausalito, or like these little areas that, you know, they're part of a larger community, but they're so uniquely themselves.
Yeah.
And I had an amazing time in Bisbee. I think the whole cast did. We did a tremendous amount of karaoke. Yeah. When we could, and I'm sure that's eventually going to end up on a blooper reel somewhere because we were doing Sweet Dreams and it did not go well. And we butchered the Eurythmics. Annie Lennox will write a song. I'll write a letter about it, I'm sure. But anyway, no, it's amazing, wonderful art community, tons of antiques, tons of really great people, great pie too. There's a wonderful place there where you can get the most amazing, huge, thin pieces of pie. And, you know, Juju treated me to a piece of pie one day, and I was like, this is the love of my life. You know? So, no, it's a great community. And I would not go there to vacation. It was too much for me.
Yeah. No.
It was just too much, yeah.
I totally get it. Why don't we do this, Ken? Let's go ahead, take our next break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Ken's background. We're going to talk more about the program. Don't forget, you can catch Living for the Dead on Hulu. It's currently streaming. I highly recommend you check it out. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Once again, a reminder that tomorrow is the big day, the 3-hour Ghost Box Radio live from Stillwater at Midwest Witchery and Healing. We're really looking forward to this. This is going to, you know, 3 hours sounds like a long time, but I guarantee it's going to move very quickly. And I'm really excited for everyone to check out. First of all, if you're watching on Facebook, you could see all these amazing parts of the building, which is really a lot of antiques in it. It's just a beautiful location. Downtown Stillwater is absolutely fascinating. So it's going to be a great day, and we hope that you join in. We're also going to be taking calls tomorrow for people who want to share their Halloween memories, what their favorite costume was dressing up, or their least favorite, or the most silly. Ken, you know, talking with Ken Bogle and the Hulu show, if I could even say that right, Living for the Dead. It's currently streaming. Ken, what's your favorite Halloween costume? What stands out for you?
I have the world's best Halloween costume. The world's best.
All right.
And I know that people are going to steal it, but I give it to you with love. I go as Dirty Laundry. And I take a square laundry basket, cut it, duct tape the edges so it doesn't cut me. I wear like boxer shorts over basketball shorts and white t-shirts with socks pinned to it. And I slide the laundry basket over my body, fill it full of laundry, detergent, so, you know, like laundry soaps and Downy and things like that. And I have probably grand total won maybe $600 or $700 in bar tabs in my years of being Dirty Laundry. I love it. That's it's amazing. My favorite Halloween costume.
That is actually very good. Technically, I'm dressed as Dirty Laundry too right now, but I guess it's it's different.
That's fine.
Why do I expose myself this way? I could have just stayed quiet, and maybe one person might think that I'm actually a decent human. I don't know, but so I'll tell you real fast. In second grade, I was a huge fan of the Muppets. I still am, but I was really into the Muppets, and my mom made me this Fozzie Bear costume, like a helmet that was his head, and like. Sewed this, like she got like patterns and she sewed this thing. I mean, just amazing for one night, you know, for one and second grade.
Wow.
It was the most difficult costume to wear, to put on, you know, made with love, obviously, but it was just like, you know, it's like walking around like a zombie, second grade, you know, a Fozzie Bear, you know, and, you know, everyone else is dressed like really cool and they're running, and I just have, I'm like Frankenstein, and
yeah, but Fozzie Bear is
it's
the coolest.
Fozzie
like,
Bear.
He's so cool.
It's so
cool.
I've never outgrown the Muppets. I'm not afraid to
Me
say
either.
That.
Either.
So we're talking with Ken Bogle, and you know, it's been a long time since you and I actually have had a conversation. It's been, I mean, I know you've been busy, but it's just been so long.
Yeah.
Now, so for those who are unaware, you are a tarot card reader, a psychic medium. I know we have a friend in common, Char Savoy, who has appeared on such radio programs as this one. She's guest hosted a few times, and she was just singing your praises, taking classes and stuff. Are you still offering classes?
Yeah, so I teach tarot 101 through 202.
Mm-hmm.
There's a syllabus. It's exactly the way I learned how to do it. There's homework. It's hardcore. It's every week. We do it online or in person. Mm-hmm. You can message at kenbogle.com. You can go on there and fill out the contact form. My assistant Mary gets it, and then I'll get you to the people who do it. I teach tarot, and I teach psychic development. Now, she took the psychic development course and was phenomenal. She was already incredibly gifted.
Yeah,
she was a powerhouse. She still is. But when she took it, you know, the final is that you have to read me. Like, that's the final, and it's pass or fail. She passed beautifully and gave me some incredible, incredible information for myself. So I love her, and I hope that anybody who wants to either get a reading or take these classes goes to kenbogle.com.
That would be great. And I've had readings from you in the past, and I've loved them. And I think the last time I actually saw you was at that Vegas convention, which was now – 2 years ago. I mean, that's amazing how time flies. Isn't that something?
It's so insane. The life that has happened between that point and now, it feels like a million years ago to me. I don't even feel like the same person. I feel like I've completely, But you know, I just thought the world of you when I met you, and I thought the world of you when we connected on Facebook.
Those are correct emotions, Ken. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, I just think you're awesome, and I've really enjoyed it. And so thanks for staying with me for all these years.
Absolutely. Now, in the show, I've seen a couple, like you'd be doing something and you kind of like pull a card to see a situation like that you're going into. So is that what you really do?
Yeah. So the way it works is that I already have feelings about what's going on. Like I'm already psychically feeling stuff. Then I take the deck and I have a specific spread that nobody in the world knows it. It came to me while I was out having surgery. And when I came to, I asked for a pen and a piece of paper. They're like, well, we need your heart rate to come back up because right now you're like a dying tortoise. So we really need you to get it down. And I'm like, no, I need a pen and piece of paper. Like I have to draw this. And what I do is I use that spread to help me figure out, one, is it really something that is otherworldly? Is it, and what is it? What is the purpose? What's its intentions? What's its motivations? And it really helps me further discern the spirit. And it also helps me get a ton of detail. And I do that quite a lot. The other thing that I don't know that you see me doing in the show a whole lot is that I have a tendency to look to my right and I just go,
oh,
and then I come back. And that's one of the things. It's like my spirit guide always talks to me on the right and any other spirit talks to me on the left. So in the show, I don't know that you see a whole lot of it, but there's a lot of times where I'm dealing cards and just go, and then I have something to say about it. It's pretty weird to see. I'm glad they edited it. Like, thanks, Elaine White, for not making me look like a nut. But yeah, I use the tarot cards also to make sure that everybody's spiritually safe, because the spread that I use allows me to see spirits that are being deceitful or have malice or bad intent.
Did you feel like you had some real moments of any sort of spiritual danger at any of these locations?
Yeah, for sure. At the Copper Queen.
Yeah.
Like at the Copper Queen, I really felt endangered. I really felt, and you know, Juju, who is a rock,
Yeah.
She herself was like, ooh, I'm getting a little shaky. Like, Ken, what is this that's got a hold of you? It was pretty terrifying. That was scary. I tell you, the one place I did not feel at all endangered was the Haunted Mansion in Sarasota. Not Sarasota, in Sedona. I think it was in Sedona.
Yeah.
And you know, in that episode, you watch me actually say, something's not right here. And you watch me say, I'm not, no, somebody's not telling me the whole truth. And I get kind of angry, and because I hate when people lie. And as a paranormal investigator, you need 100% of transparency, 100% of the time, from 100% of everybody. So that to me was the easiest, maybe, to say to do. But the Copper Queen was certainly the hardest, I think.
Do you think, you mentioned that your other friends, that they were also picking up on stuff, but do you feel like with your gifts and stuff that sometimes if you're going into places that have any sort of ill intent or malice, that you are a bigger target?
No, only because I have worked for 31 years. So I started psychically developing for 31 years ago. I started when I was 8 years old in earnest, like really working with with my grandmother. And the first thing she taught me was how to shut off and how to protect. And if anything can get past the shutting down and the protection, then it is something really heavy. So I go in with a healthy dose of respect.
Yeah.
But I also don't go toward a whole lot in life with fear. The Clown Motel was about as scared as I could possibly be, only because there were clowns. And there's nothing I could do about that. Like, I can't shut down with 2,000 clowns around me. Like, that's like Poltergeist. Like, there's dead bodies under the floor. They're trying to talk. I got these clowns. And you got to watch that episode, y'all. It's crazy.
It is.
But if you're afraid of clowns, you just, you will feel me. Message me and tell me, how proud you are that I lived through it, actually. But because Logan actually said in the episode that didn't make it on the show, they're like, Ken, I thought you were going to have a heart attack. And I'm like, I get that I'm the oldest one of the group, but can we simmer down? I'm like, no, I was really not well. But yeah, so yeah, I do a really intense job of shutting down and protecting myself. So I don't think I'm a bigger target than, say, Alex or Ross. Sure.
Well, and I think, too, that for those listening, because we know we have a lot of people who want to be, they want to do what we do. They want to go and do paranormal investigations and whatnot. But I do think that the number one thing you need to do when you go into those situations, and really all throughout life, just anything in life, is protection. You know, energy protection, energy, you know, and it helps you in big crowds, and it will help you with a lot of other things. But especially going into a paranormal investigation, you have to be able to protect yourself. And I just get so angry with some of those, you know, thrill seekers out there who, like, they don't want to do that. They don't want to do any of stuff because they are afraid, kind of what you and I talked about earlier. They're afraid that they're not going to get the interaction that they want to. And that's, when you're saying it, it's different than when they're saying it, because when they're saying it, they have no regard for any of that whatsoever. You're taking calculated, not even risk, you're taking calculated decisions.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that it sure is fun to go on paranormal investigations when you're going in like a large group, yep, this, that, and the other thing. But if you're not protecting yourself, you are opening yourself up for a world that you might not be ready to handle. Like in the Waverly Hills episode, you know, they're now making it a haunted attraction in the morgue and in, yeah, the laboratory and things. And the guy we were helping in that episode, he had an attachment that has ruined his life for 8 years. 8 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you might go thinking it's a good time that none of this really exists. But the thing is, the other side doesn't care if you believe in it or not. The other side, actually, they want you to not believe, so that you are more susceptible. It's insidious, and you have got to be very, very careful. And I know that sounds very Ed and Lorraine, and people are all, you know, the hogwash, but I've seen things that would make people's toes curl. Like, I mean, I've lived through some pretty horrific, yep, things. You've got to take care of yourself, step one.
And to your point, if you have it happen to you, you're probably not going to take those risks again. You're going to rethink that. I mean, if you get a really bad one, and I've also had some pretty bad things, and it's just like it makes you rethink a lot of things, even whether or not you want to stay in the field, to be very honest.
Absolutely. There's only I always have a small moment when there's really something terrible happening where I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, why, yeah, am I doing this? But then I remember, like in the Limp Mansion episode, there's a family here. That's why I'm doing it. There's a family here who needs help. That's why all five of us do what we do, you know? And we're totally five unique, crazy, different individuals. But we all have one purpose, which is, how can we help?
Yep.
And I think helping is what it's all about. If you're approaching it the right way, it's obviously scientific, and it's obviously procedural. But you must have some kind of care for the people who are living and working in that environment.
So true. And also care for spirits as well. You know,
absolutely.
It's both going both ways. Once again, the program is called Living for the Dead. Ken Bogle is on it with an amazing group of people it's so much fun, Ken. And people really do need to check it out, don't they? I mean, it is. Yeah. So wonderful. We have just a couple seconds left. Any word on a second season or anything? Too soon?
It's too soon right now. But if everybody binge watches it, it's on. It's on. And it's being received well. I hope everybody receives it well. Just press play. Just keep pressing play and be present for it. Allow it.
Yep. If you want more of it, it's in our power, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Ken, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been so much fun. I'm so glad you were able to fit us in. I know you're very busy, but thank you so very much. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure, babe.
All righty. We're going to be back tomorrow with our 3-hour episode of Ghost Box Radio, so definitely check us out. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.